839-1360-975 WTAQ News Talk. Sports. You hear a frog in here somewhere? All right, so the cough is mostly gone. Now I've got this, which is as much as I can do on the air. The rest I have to do off the air. I hope this means this thing is finally clearing up. It's amazing. This building has been like a mash unit. There have just been people down everywhere. I do attribute it to the just the miserable winter where we just keep breathing all the same air. You don't realize how inactive we've been. I had to leave work early yesterday. I didn't even get a chance to tell Jason where I was going. I left work early. Our dog broke one of her nails. Okay, to them, it's like, to us, it would be like having our fingernail torn out. I noticed she wasn't walking well. Okay, we've got to take her in. And they do something routine, pretty much like when you go to the doctor, whatever you take her to the vet for, they put her on the scale. Why? Jason says, why? Why do we need to know? She gained, I think, close to 10 pounds this winter. And I just about freaked out, and they said almost every pet they are seeing, particularly dogs, they're seeing the same thing. When was the last time you've been able to walk a dog for any considerable, you know, unless you're a retired person who can do it? I can't. Between the snow and the cold. Well, how much exercise are your dogs getting, Jason? I know you don't walk. Was that the question? You sound like a liberal caller. The way you're evading the answer over there. It's not the question I ask. Are your dogs getting any considerable exercise at all this winter? They are. Okay, you have places, so you're actually doing the... Oh, well, I suppose I should do that too. Now that I've learned she's put on, I don't know if it's 10 pounds. I don't remember. Maybe she weighed 67. She weighed 71. Well, I mean, we let her run around in the backyard. It's just not enough. Yeah, I may have to look at the dog park thing. I may have to, because she's just not getting enough exercise. And there just doesn't seem to be any break in this at all. Anyway, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, because I've got other things to get to here. In fact, I've got two things that I want to get to. And one of them I think I'm going to get criticized for. That I'm being politically incorrect, or actually, it could even play into the Warren women thing. So I'm going to have to choose my words very carefully when I get to that topic in a few minutes, so as not to be misconstrued what I'm saying. Jason says, forget it, you can't win. You haven't even done the topic yet, and you're going to be misconstrued. Well, he's right about that. I mean, he didn't say all those words. He said that with a grunt. I mean, that's what you meant, right? See? It's kind of scary that we can read each other's primordial grunts that way. Primordial is not the right word. I can't think of the word. Primal. Primal grunts. Yeah. It's, you're right. This working relationship has lasted a lot longer than a lot of marriages, and that's even if you don't count the Kardashians. Yeah, exactly. We'll get to that in just a bit. I was sent by, I believe it was two listeners, a story that posted February 20th. They believe it's an aha moment in the debate over a downtown Walmart. And by the way, that has been on pause more or less until... I believe it's next week when council takes up again the Plan Commission recommendation. And I believe that's not going to be the end of it, no matter what happens there anyway. But as you know, the lame excuse that Jim Schmidt and others are making is the store's too big. The proposed Walmart store downtown on Broadway, too big, not a good fit. But why don't they just build a smaller store? And I've argued because their market research shows that is what would work. A couple of listeners sent me this. It's Susan Barefield writing at Bloomberg Business Week, February 20th. Why Walmart needs to build much smaller stores. Walmart has a long history of embracing change, and this year we'll certainly make some changes to improve our business. These changes will be made with a filter on increasing customer relevance. That was how Doug McMillon, Walmart Store's new CEO, introduced his plans for 2014 in a pre-recorded call on Thursday. That would be a week ago today. What followed were the details of just how tough 2013 was for the world's biggest retailer. The company's net sales grew 1.6% to $473.1 billion, and its operating income decreased 3.1% to $26.9 billion. In the U.S., Walmart's comparable store sales, an important measure of a retailer's health, declined 0.6%. Company executives have given all sorts of reasons for the slow sales in the U.S., so on. There was one bright spot. Walmart's smaller stores. Bill Simon, the head of the retailer's U.S. operations, noted that the smaller locations, which range in size from 15,000 square feet to 39,000 square feet, and of course the Green Bay store being proposed is over 150,000 square feet, had positive comparable sales growth and increases in traffic each quarter of 2013. The grocery stores, called neighborhood markets, had sales growth of about 4% for the year. Trouble is, there aren't many of them, 346 to be exact, and only 20 of the even smaller Walmart Express stores. Now, and then she goes on. For Walmart, becoming more relevant to consumers means becoming more convenient. You could run in and out of a dollar store at about the same time it takes you to find your car in a Walmart Supercenter parking lot. So her argument is, these should be the wave of the future, because they had a better 2013. So Susan Barefield of Bloomberg Businessweek, well, Walmart should build more smaller stores because those were winners last year versus their old big box stores. A couple of listeners sent this to me. See, they should, even their own numbers show that their smaller urban stores are doing better than, or not even necessarily urban, but their smaller stores are doing better than their bigger stores. So how can they say that a bigger store makes more sense in downtown Green Bay than a smaller store? Well, that is a fair question, isn't it? So I asked, and a spokesperson for Walmart answered. Our small format, and they actually made an announcement on the small format themselves that they see this as well. That's what prompted this. On February 20th, they addressed this. The small format strategy is part of the big picture of how we serve customers, not the only way we serve customers. We're also making a huge investment in connecting with customers through Walmart.com because it's another way that customers want to shop. Our strategy for reaching customers is multi-format and multi-channel, by the way, just like everybody else's today, including ours. What you have been saying about the reason for a Supercenter downtown is accurate. It's about providing the one-stop shopping experience and addressing the deficit of general merchandise and grocery of downtown customers. We are very diligent in analyzing the square footage and store size necessary to be successful and to deliver on our customer expectations. Again, their research shows a larger store makes sense there. They are very, very, very good at what they do in that regard. And the fact that they're having success with their smaller stores doesn't change anything that I've been saying. Walmart believes that's the right fit. I mean, why? Look, if they thought a smaller store made more strategic sense, why wouldn't they do that? Why wouldn't they? If they thought that it made more sense to the bottom line, they would go with a 12,000, 15,000, 30,000, whatever. If they thought that was a good fit, it's not a good fit. I want to mention just one other thing. You may have heard it publicly stated that the Walmart proposal would ask for TIF dollars, tax incremental financing. That is false. In fact, that's what I have been pounding about this, is one of the many things that Walmart isn't asking for is TIF money. And yet it gets some people say publicly that it would involve TIF money. It doesn't. I just wanted to clarify that. All right, this is the one where you might be tempted, if you or I, to walk on eggshells. Didn't get to this yesterday. Yesterday's front page story, and I will name them, of the Green Bay Press Gazette. This was yesterday's paper. It deals with the latest domestic violence deaths. It takes up almost the whole front page. This is the Bader Street murder-suicide. We have a big headline. We have a significant problem with domestic violence in this community. That's Karen Faulkner, executive director of the Green Bay-based Golden House Domestic Abuse Program and Shelter. I've had Karen on the show. I've met Karen. She was right here in the studio. Domestic violence blame for Bader Street murder-suicide. Doug Schneider's story, again, just about the whole front page, except for a little sidebar story to the far-left margin on the Brown County United Way campaign. Otherwise, this is the whole front page. Domestic violence has killed again in Green Bay. Police and advocates on Tuesday urged community members to speak up and speak out against domestic abuse after an investigation revealed that a murder-suicide on Bader Street over the weekend was the result of a relationship gone bad. If you feel like you're in an abusive relationship, talk to somebody, said City Police Captain Todd Thomas. If you have a friend or family member you suspect is in an abusive relationship, talk to somebody. Jeffrey Fish, 52, fatally shot Linda A. Dickinson, 47, inside an apartment at 1055 Bader Street early Sunday morning, then turned the gun on himself, Green Bay police said. And the whole point of the story is what a huge problem this is in the area. Dickinson and Fish had been a couple for about 10 years, and Dickinson had tried several times to end the relationship, only to have Fish convince her to return, Thomas said. Fish and Dickinson had it, so on. Then they quote Faulkner talking about when a woman tries to leave a relationship is the most difficult time. I do not dispute any of this. I think that domestic violence continues to be a problem, and that we have, over the years, come to believe that it isn't. I accept all that. And that there has been another fatal incident of it in the Green Bay area is a big deal. In Green Bay is a big deal. In the period of time that there's been another one, I am not going to try to minimize this. However, others might argue that these are isolated incidents. I'm not. Okay, you have two high-profile worst-case scenario. Does that mean that there's domestic violence running rampant? No, it doesn't. Does it mean it's growing? I don't know. Here's all I'm going to point out. I'm not going to try to minimize the problem because I don't know. I don't know if domestic abuse is a growing, out-of-control problem. We have a significant problem with domestic violence in this community. What is the definition of a significant problem? What percent? But I would compare and contrast how the paper is ready to accept this and downplay a gang problem. I'm not saying this problem isn't real. I'm saying the disparate treatment of the two societal problems is obvious. There's every effort to minimize a gang problem. And then look at the front page on this. Again, I'm not saying domestic violence isn't a problem. I don't know. Two incidents of people dying are too many. I agree. But this is a classic example of picking and choosing what gets this type of coverage and what gets, well, alleged gang, or when a police officer calls a gang activity, putting it in quotation marks. Because at this point, nobody has died. If someone had died in each of the gang activities recently, would it have gotten this treatment? We don't know. Again, that is not to minimize the scourge that is domestic violence. whether or not the victim dies. But when you have this huge front page quoting an advocate of victims of domestic violence, we have a significant problem with domestic violence in this community. What does that mean? How many? I don't know that they're overstating it. They may be, but I think it points out the disparate coverage. We've got several things coming up in the next hour. We didn't get to it yesterday, which I guess is a good thing, but I was right. And in fact, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer has vetoed the controversial bill that was seen as anti-gay. I want to get into that. Now, as you know, I've been saying for months the battle is lost when it comes to acceptance of gay marriage and the gay lifestyle, just about everything. You're not supposed to call it a lifestyle, I know. I want to get into that right after 9 o'clock. I also want to get into, at some point, again, we're going to revisit the disparate treatment, the way Governor Walker's being treated and Mary Burke. A lot of stuff. I have to quick tell you a story, though. So I have a sister who is out of work for a while. She had a little bit of an accident, and she's just kind of laid up. She'll be fine, but for the work she does, she can't do it right now. So she can listen to the show almost every day for a short period of time, and she heard me talking about my weight loss on Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. She said, wow, you lost 25 pounds? I haven't seen you since Christmas. Send a selfie, would you? I haven't seen you. And actually, today it's 27 pounds. And I sent her a pic, and she said, wow, I can't believe you lost it that fast. That is the common reaction. Again, Proactive Weight Loss Solutions is not a diet, doctor-supervised, multifaceted program. And yes, I can safely lose that much weight that quickly, and I am very confident I'll keep it off, and I'm not done yet. 920-268-1386. Call Dr. Jason Litwin today. 920-268-1386. It's 856.
Is today's low silver